This program is sponsored by Blazing Grace Ministries.
This radio program is PG-13. Parents strongly caution some material may be inappropriate for children under the age of 13. Send me free. Jesus' mission was to comfort those who mourn, bind up the brokenhearted, proclaim liberty to captives, and open prison doors for those who are bound. For those who want more than status quo Christianity has to offer, Blazing Grace Radio begins now. And here is your host, Mike Janung.
Hey, Mike Janung here, and welcome back to Blazing Grace Radio. Thank you for joining us. If you're listening for the first time and you're wondering who is Blazing Grace, we are an international ministry to people who struggle with porn addiction, sex addiction, adultery. We work with the men as well as working with wives. And we work with couples quite a bit in the way of couples because oftentimes people don't come for help. Specifically the men until they're well into their marriage. So when we're helping, this ministry is really many times about helping and healing and restoring marriages. And in this day and age when everything is set against marriage, this is such a critical issue right now. And especially when surveys show that 70% plus of Christian men are viewing porn and 40% of Christian women. And we've been moving toward setting up a new group for women who struggle with pornography and for women often, they have the same shame. It's just in the reverse. It's a woman instead of a man looking at pornography. and the numbers of women looking at sexually explicit content are growing faster than that of the men. And so this is not a man's only issue. And it's something that I fully believe and will continue to say should be brought up in front of every church, because when you have that many people struggling with this stuff, you can't just sit there and try and sweep it under the rug. And we do counseling by Zoom. We do groups by Zoom with people from North America, but also in other countries, Europe, England. We have people in Australia participate, so this is a international issue. We ship my books to Singapore and India and other countries, South America. So it's an international problem, although the U.S. is the number one consumer and producer of pornography in the world, to our shame. And this is an issue that can't be run away from. And what we do notice lately in the last, I don't know, year, 2 years, a little bit more, is that people are coming in with deeper and darker issues. I noticed that when I'm working with somebody, maybe from the UK or from Europe, it's not uncommon for them to have some level of the occult in their background. And we see it too with people we work with here in the U.S. And some don't always realize what this has done to them, and meaning what ground they've given the enemy in this area. So we help them walk through breaking those agreements, confessing that sin, finding freedom. We disciple them in spiritual warfare, and in addition to helping them rebuild the structure in their lives, rebuild the structure in their marriage, communication is a big issue, because often when a couple's first involved with all the confusion and pain and anger and shame and guilt and all that goes along with recovering from this stuff, they don't know how to listen to each other or be heard, or fear of intimacy is sometimes there. So we help people with all three sides, the chemical, emotional, and the spiritual. And spiritual warfare is always a big part of this. A lot of people think that the thoughts they're thinking or they're running through my mind, their mind, that have to do with condemnation or shame or self-hatred or despair or hopelessness. They think, they assume that's just me. They don't understand they have an enemy coming against them, planting those thoughts in their mind, and they're playing with them and agreeing with them. So we help them understand how to deal with all that and break it and live free of it. Fear and anxiety are big issues today. And as I mentioned, it's getting darker and darker. If you read the news, it's just awful. you can't help if you read the book of Revelation or Matthew 24, if you read all the signals that God gives in there, man, it sounds like we're right up the door with the end times right there. So I've shared before that I'm in my fourth year now with long COVID. Some of the symptoms for me, including some of the brain fog, it can be depression, can be anxiety that's chemical, out of nowhere. It can be having a hard time breathing, and the fatigue can come in and be very crippling. What it does to the immune system is exhausts it. And so if I work out or exercise, usually the day after, I pay a price and I'm just wiped out. But sometimes the enemy uses that against me, and he can attack the emotions and he can attack the body. And so part of what we need to know is that we need to be discerning is what we're – and I don't mean a demon is behind everything we're going through, you know, physically. We got a cold or a flu, bronchitis, whatever. I'm not saying that at all, but there are times when the enemy can attack with chest pains or some kind of debilitating weakness or fatigue in the body or in other ways. And sometimes we go to the doctor and they're just kind of like, I don't know what's going on with you. And I've heard that quite a few times with long COVID, but so what I'll share is that I had a rough day yesterday, and in this ministry, we see a lot of spiritual warfare, and I just felt physically weak. I felt awful. It's been a lot of stress in the past days. So weakness from the long COVID and then spiritual warfare, it was like a 1-2 punch. Where all sorts of dark, crazy thoughts were floating through my mind, and so I was spending a lot of time praying against it, asking for wisdom, asking for discernment, and went to church last night and did get some relief. And then this morning when I woke up, I just felt exhausted, emotionally, spiritually. I was just wiped out. And I just got alone with God. And sometimes I sing worship songs when I'm alone with God in the morning. And this morning I sang the song, It Is Well. And then I sang this song from 1752. I like the old hymns because they don't repeat the same verse, you know, 10 times. And so the song is Be Still My Soul, and I'm not a singer, but I'm going to just sing a couple phrases from it. It's, Be still my soul, the Lord is on your side. Bear patiently the cross of grief or pain. Leave to your God to order and provide. In every change, he faithful will remain. Be still, my soul, your best, your heavenly friend. Through thorny ways leads to a joyful end. Be still, my soul, your God does undertake to guide the future. As he has the past, your hope, your confidence, let nothing shake. All now mysterious shall be bright at last. Be still, my soul, though waves and winds still know his voice who ruled them while he lived. below here on Earth. And so as I read, as I sang, and well, you could almost say sang and prayed this hymn, which is right out of Scripture, and my energy came back. And I, like I said, I was exhausted, and all of a sudden I got this little burst of energy, and this is a part of the supernatural life, and it's how powerful prayer and worship is. And sometimes I wonder if when we worship alone with God, worship is beautiful and wonderful and powerful, and I love it at church when it's not a screaming loud rock concert, but sometimes I wonder if when it's one-on-one, just us with Him, if it doesn't hit, a special place in His heart, because there's nobody around us. It's just us and Him, and what we're really doing is pouring love out to God. And what is the greatest commandment? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, and your soul. And I've seen so many times in my life how critical prayer is. So He gave me the strength. He came through again. And the Christian life is a supernatural life because we are given the Holy Spirit of power, love, and sound mind. And He's just not kind of there, a casual observer, just kind of, you know, an audience of one, checking it out, what we're doing. He's there in power and strength and offering counsel and wisdom and discernment and so much more in life, abundant life that He promised. And there's been so many times that I've just been like down to the nubs with exhaustion, and He came through. And I've gone through other subtle attacks too. So about a week ago, the thoughts were starting to kind of weave in my mind a little bit. Why am I doing this? Why am I going through all this stuff? Why am I enduring all this? And I think part of it was when I looked at our Facebook page, Blazing Grace Facebook page, and we had on a recent post several weeks ago, we had more than 800 people post comment, and I don't know, probably a good 80 to 90% of them were just mean. Insults, degrading the church, attacking God, attacking Jesus, insulting me, and, you know, a big deal about that. But I hate reading the ones where they're, and a few are even cursing God. It's like, what do you need to do that for? If you don't believe He exists, then why are you cursing somebody you don't think exists? What is this hatred? And, of course, we know who's influencing that. And maybe in a moment I got myself get a little overwhelmed, like, oh, my gosh, why? But then I'm reminded this is a part of the battle. And one morning I was reading in Scripture, right around that time when those verses or those words were hitting me about what am I doing this for, and God came through reminding me from 1 Corinthians 15:58, "Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain." And that just grabbed me. It reminded me, keep going, don't give up, keep pressing in. This is just a part of the battle. Say no to discouragement. Say no to lies. Be strong in the Lord and what He's given you. Pour your life out until the end. Jesus didn't, He held nothing back until the very end. And should we not do the same no matter the cost? He allowed Himself to be killed. Most of us aren't going to have to endure that like they are in different countries. But He allowed Himself to be butchered and killed. He didn't hold anything back. And then another, I was reminded of Titus chapter 3, where it says, "But when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, He saved us, not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to His own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us richly. Isn't that wonderful? Soaking in it through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that being justified by his grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. The saying is trustworthy, and I want you to insist on these things, so that those who have believed in God may be careful to devote themselves to good works. These things are excellent and profitable for people. Devoting yourselves to good works, pouring your life out until the very end. And then again, that very same chapter in Titus 3. When I sent Artemis or Tychicus to you, do your best to come to me at Nicopolis, for I have decided to spend the winter there. Do your best to speed Zenas the lawyer and Apollos on their way. See they lack nothing. And here it is again. And let our people learn to devote themselves to good works so as to help Cage's urgent need and not be unfruitful. A lot of time, most of the time, the people who come to us for help are in urgent need. Their marriages are on the line. Some are like teetering on the edge of divorce. And what Paul is saying here is stay focused on pouring your life out. Don't get distracted. Don't get choked by the things of this world. Don't let pleasure and entertainment distract you or choke you. Think back to the parable of the sower, where the third seed, got choked by the weeds and the distractions and pleasures of this world. And some of you can just barely make it out of the door, and you're hurting. And I know there are some listening that are in a really bad place, extremely painful, whether it's in your marriage or whatever it is. And so there are times and there are seasons we just need time to rest. We need time to heal. We need to let God minister to us. That's a part of life. There are seasons to life. But there are seasons, many of them, where, okay, now how are you going to invest your time? What are you going to pour your life out into? I see so many Christians talking about the latest Christian movie or The Chosen or whatever it is. So it doesn't take a genius to figure out they're spending hours watching this stuff. And there's nothing wrong with it. But you're not going to have an impact sitting on your butt staring at a screen. As Oswald Chambers has mentioned, the good is often the enemy of the best. Good, sitting and watching a Christian program, doesn't even come close to the best. So pour your life out. How are you going to make a difference in this world? And think about, what is my life mission and purpose? Sometimes I ask myself, even when I'm driving here, if I was to die in a week, would I give my all? Would I give everything no matter how tired I am, how weak I am? Would I just go for it? And that's sometimes what I try to remind myself. I don't know how long I have, and neither do you. So many people are just wasting their time and wasting hours on social media or the news. The news can be like a hypodermic needle sometimes. It's like getting a hit of crack or getting a hit of heroin, cultural heroin. And a lot of that stuff, if you're not careful, it doesn't take long to drop a good hour just sitting there surfing around the news or surfing around the internet. You can waste a lot of time. And I've fallen prey to this too. And as time goes on, I've tried to set boundaries over my time on my phone. And so the average American now will spend 5 hours and 37 minutes on his phone every day. That's not exactly going to be something that strengthens your spiritual walk or strengthens your prayer life. So we have to get focused. We have to remember we just have one shot at this life. And some people, I'll see them, they'll write, hey, I'm feeling really good today. Well, yeah, and I love feeling good, believe me. I don't vote for feeling like garbage. But there's going to be times when you feel awful and God is calling you to take a step of faith And then you have to decide, am I going to do it anyway, or am I just going to, well, I don't feel like it today. If I did things in ministry when I waited to feel like it, probably 60 to 70% wouldn't get done. We have to remember we are little baby vapors here. Like in the book of James, we're told we're just a vapor that's here and gone. Grass, I forget, Psalm 103, we're like the grass that's here today, gone tomorrow. And if you really lived with eternity in mind, if you really lived with this understanding that you have no idea how much time you have left, how would you spend it? Would you really drop 5 hours watching, whatever, staring on your phone? Or would you binge watch whatever, The Chosen, or would you be on your knees in prayer more? Would you be begging God, please, God, please send me out there. I don't want to waste my life. I asked God for that quite a bit. God, I do not want to waste my life. Let me go hard until the very end. Let me pour out until the very end. I don't want to spend the last years of my life puttering around the house doing nothing. God, send me out there and let me go out. Let me make a difference. Let me make an impact. So there was another time earlier this week. I talked about the COVID symptoms and difficulty breathing, and all day long I was just having a hard time breathing, and to the point where it was painful. And this didn't feel right. Sometimes I know I can tell easily that it's physical alone, but I could tell there was like a spiritual edge around it. And sometimes you know when you're being attacked because there's like this cloud of darkness kind of hovering over your head. You just can't, it's like a fog. And sometimes there can be like this dark pressure, and it was feeling like that. So this went on most of the day. I was praying in and out of the day, and then finally in the afternoon, I asked God, what is this? What is all this about? What do I need to do? And he gave me one word, endurance. Sometimes he'll give us a battle to fight, and it's going to go on for a while. It's not going to be, there's times I get attacked and take up my authority in Christ. In the name of Jesus, I command you to leave my presence and go where Jesus sends you to go. And there's times when it's one and done. And there's times where, you know, wars don't last, aren't over in a minute. An enemy in warfare will keep coming and attacking. And sometimes those will go on for hours. You have to be prepared to go the distance. You have to be prepared to not give up, no matter how you feel. Hard to breathe, weak, fatigued, sick, whatever. And he doesn't fight fair. He doesn't wait till you just feel really great. Sometimes you will beat your strongest when you're feeling your weakest physically, because when we are weak physically, that's when we can be prone to going after the Holy Spirit in power and in prayer. And we may be strong spiritually when we feel lousy physically. So God reminded me of James 1, chapter 1, verse 2 and 4. Consider it all joy, my brothers and sisters, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. And then later again, in the same chapter, he says, blessed is a man who perseveres under trial. For once he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. And in the past, I would key in on the persevering under trial part. And we do need to persevere under trial. We've got to be prepared for that. But I kind of miss out on what else he's saying there. Blessed is a man who perseveres under trial. There are blessings for us. God is blessed. Because when you persevere in a trial, what are you doing? You're exhibiting faith. God, you are with me. You will get me through this. I need your strength. Fill me with your power. You're on your knees in prayer. You're going to him. You're blessed. And it says he will receive the crown of life. And I don't know if this crown of life is a literal crown or if it's the metaphorical way of saying you're going to get abundant life. But either way, I know that Jesus came and he promised abundant life. and there are blessings to be had in persevering and breaking through. So, my friends, don't give up ever. Stay on your knees. Stay on prayer. Make your lives count. Don't get distracted. Don't get choked. Turn off your phone and invest yourself in the lives of others and ask God what he wants you to do. Thank you for joining me, and we'll see you next time. Do you want to be free?
Blazing Grace is a nonprofit international ministry for the sexually broken and the spouse. Please visit us at blazinggrace.org for information on Mike Janung's books, groups, counseling, or to have Mike speak at your organization. You can email us at email@blazinggrace.org or call our office in Chandler, Arizona at 719-888-5144. Again, visit us at blazinggrace.org. Email us at email@blazinggrace.org or call the office at 719-888-5144.
This program was sponsored by Blazing Grace Ministries.